Since 1934, Grange Co-op has stood for more than just a store. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors, families growing together, and communities thriving. And now, that tradition is here in Reading. From feed and garden supplies to tools and pet essentials, Grange Co-op has what you need. With service you can trust. Visit us today at 55 Lake Boulevard. Grange Co-op, trusted by neighbors since 1934.
You have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
The following has been rated PC for politically correct.
Pay attention, you just may learn something.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
This is the best of the Larry Elder Show. Larry Elder here, the sage from South Central, the prince of Pico Union, the czar of common sense, the great Eldersky, Don Lorenzo. Welcome to the program. No victocrats allowed because we've got a country to save. So let's get her teed up!
You want to play rock? Say hello to my little friend!
What the hell's going on out here?
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Larry Elder here, 888-971-SAGE.
A Thomas Sowell is the closest thing this century has come to on the order of an Emancipation Proclamation. He is a scholar who has devoted his labors to looking behind the cliches of abjection to sing out not that there is no such thing as racial discrimination, on the contrary, not that there is an instantaneous route to affluence, but that the color of an American's skin is not a birthmark that commits him to substandard life. What is extraordinary is that the labors of Mr. Sowell, far from exciting the kind of enthusiastic reception one would expect, have met in some cases with near hysterical denunciations, even from some black leaders. It is as if the head of the Anti-Slavery League had denounced Abraham Lincoln for signing the Emancipation Proclamation. Indeed, that proclamation meant that there would no longer be slavery, but it also meant that there would no longer be an Anti-Slavery League. Thomas Sowell was born in the South, but came north with his family as a boy, entered Stuyvesant High, from which he graduated going on to Marines, and then matriculating in Harvard. There he received a degree in economics, going on to Columbia for his master's, and to the University of Chicago for his doctorate. He has taught at Rutgers, at Howard, at Cornell, Brandeis, Amherst, was professor of economics at UCLA. He is now a senior fellow of the Hoover Institution at Stanford. He has written a dozen books, including most recently the two both published by Basic Books we will be discussing here today. They are Ethnic America and Markets and Minorities.
Please welcome to the show Thomas Sowell. Tom, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Tom, I was going to prepare a introduction for you, and then I came across that, and I said, I don't think I can do that any better, although you've published a few more books since then.
Yes, I have, yes.
You know, William F. Buckley, Tom, had that show Firing Line for 33 years, and in 33 years he could never get Ted Kennedy to come on. And when he was asked why, Buckley said, "Why does the bologna avoid the grinder?"
Oh, my. He was really one of a kind.
He was, and that was when I first saw you. I was just telling my audience, I saw you as a teenager, and I was amazed at your eloquence and your taking very difficult positions, unpopular positions, and defending them, often against pretty severe criticism within the very studio where Buckley would have you on. I have a question. You have been called a conservative. You've been called a libertarian. What label would you call yourself?
I don't label myself at all. I call them as I see them. It's like saying, like asking an umpire, what do you call balls or strikes?
Mm-hmm. Retirement. You wrote a column saying this is your last column. What prompted you to do that?
I guess it was spending a few days in Yosemite with a couple of buddies of mine taking pictures. And for four consecutive days, we saw no news on television. We read no newspapers. And I realized how wonderful that was. whereas as long as I'm writing a column, I felt I had an obligation to follow what was being said in the media, to the listeners, you know, some of the crazy people. And I decided I really don't need to keep doing that.
You know, when you invited me to spend the weekend with you and to take pictures, at the time, an article had come out, I believe, by Derek Bach, I could be wrong about that, about the benefits of race-based preferences, of so-called affirmative action. And you had just read it, and you shook your head, and you said, and I quote, "I'm going to have to deal with that," close quote. The power to be able to deal with things that you have as a columnist in over 300 newspapers and outlets, do you think you're going to miss being able to deal with things?
No, because I've said whatever I had to say, and I'm not retiring from the rest of my work. I gather from some people that seem to be saying I'm retiring, period, which I think if on the part of liberals that may be just wishful thinking. But no, I expect to publish books, and I think that's much better for me in the sense that there are things you can get across in a newspaper column, and there are other things that require something longer.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily as long as my most recent book, which is 576 pages long, but maybe something about half that size with some essays in which we can really go into things. One of the things I've been appalled by for a long time are these discussions of minimum wage laws. But there are people out there who seriously never think about what the actual consequences are, never mind what you think you're going to do. And there are always studies being done trying to refute the myth, as they put it, that minimum wage laws cause unemployment. Well, it is one of the most powerfully documented fact that is exactly what it does. And it's not just that people lose the particular low-level job that they have at the moment. What they lose is even more important than that, because most of these are young people, and they're at an entry-level job, and they learn how to conduct yourself on a job. They learn how to be punctual, to get along with other people, to orient yourself toward the customer or toward the person for whom you're working. And that's like gold. And so that, I understand why some people take jobs that pay no money at all. And some people have been enormously successful, including among others the black architect who designed that theme building at the Los Angeles International Airport.
Paul Williams.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So, for that matter, F.W. Woolworth, who was a country bumpkin. And he worked from 7 in the morning till 9 at night and without any pay at all until he learned the retailing business and went on to become, he was so rich that the Woolworth building in New York, the skyscraper, was not paid for by the Woolworth company, but out of F.W. Woolworth's personal money. And so the idea that third parties ought to be taking options away from people because they don't like the options is absolutely astounding. I mean, not since the days of the divine right of kings have there been people presumptuous enough to think that they should decide whether other people can take jobs or not take them.
And yet, you and other economists are not winning the argument. We have a bunch of states that have passed minimum wage hikes. You have written that a black teenager before the minimum wage laws really took effect were more likely to have a job than a white teenager, and still people are raising their hand for a higher minimum wage. You have a bunch of states now that have passed laws that put the minimum wage in time at $15. Why aren't you winning the argument?
That's a very good question. I think, for one thing, most people don't ever see the argument. I was thinking of some of the – I was recently reading one – Walter Williams' book, Race and Economics, And I was so impressed, and I realized the things that Walter said 40 years ago. People, students today are graduating with honors from some of the most prestigious universities in the country, for whom that would be a total revelation. They have no idea about such things.
Well, Tom Sowell, please don't go away. My guest is Thomas Sowell. We come back, so many questions. I want to talk about radical Islam versus Islam. Is the battle against radical Islam, or is there something fundamental Tom Sowell thinks is quote-unquote wrong with Islam? We're going to talk about his thoughts about Barack Obama, his thoughts, of course, about Donald Trump. All that's coming up, 888-971-SAGE. I'm Larry Elder.
Portions of The Larry Elder Show are sponsored in part by Freedom, Liberty, and Security Now. Learn more at www.immigrationlaws.org.
Charlie had a heart for the persecuted church. He wanted every believer to live with unshakable faith, the kind of faith that stands firm when following Jesus costs everything. That's why the Voice of the Martyrs is offering you a free copy of a powerful daily devotional called Extreme Devotion. Inside are true stories of Christians in places like China, Iran, and Nigeria who refused to deny Christ even when it meant prison, torture, or worse. Charlie admired that kind of courage. He believed their stories could strengthen your faith and remind all of us that the gospel is worth it no matter the cost. So let's carry that same bold faith forward. Request your free copy of Extreme Devotion today at vom.org/Charlie. Again, that's vom.org/Charlie. Or click the link in the show notes. Be inspired, stand firm, and live with courage.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
Every day, I speak with people who are worried and are feeling a lot of pressure because of credit card debt. That's why I'm very proud of what we do at Trinity. We just help. We give people the support they need, along with a real plan to become debt-free. Credit card bills are consolidated into a single monthly payment that is much less than what they were paying before. Most of our members end up saving thousands, and even may improve their credit scores by as much as 200 points. I know from the bottom of my heart that I'm making a difference in the lives of the people we help. It just makes me really happy.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-793-8548.
My name is Julie, and I'm a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-793-8548.
The fight against sexual exploitation begins at home. Sexual exploitation is no longer a distant issue. It's happening here in our communities, schools, and even our homes. Every day, millions of Americans are targeted and trapped through manipulation, coercion, and deception. Sexploited in America, The Invisible War is a powerful docuseries exposing the hidden systems and cultural blind spots that allow exploitation to thrive, and gives a voice to the survivors and families forever changed by it. Raw, unfiltered, deeply human, these stories reveal both the devastating realities of exploitation and the extraordinary courage of those who refuse to be silenced. Sexploited in America, the docuseries, is presented by AGA Media and available to everyone now at SalemNow.com.
You know me. I believe in freedom, independence, and the values that built this country. Now, I'll be the first to say President Trump has taken the steps towards reviving our economy. But inflation, trade deficits, and global uncertainty are hitting hardworking Americans where it hurts. Here's the truth. I refuse to let these hidden forces decide my future. That's why I help protect my wealth with real assets, physical gold and silver. For generations, these metals have held value no matter who's in office or what the markets do. To me, gold and silver mean independence, not just for today, but for tomorrow. If you want the peace of mind I found, it's time to take action. I've partnered with the number one rated precious metals company, Gold Co., and right now they're offering first-time buyers a rebate of up to 10% in bonus silver on qualified accounts. Visit LaraLikesGold.com to learn how you can help safeguard your savings with gold and silver the way I do. That's LaraLikesGold.com.
This is the best of the Larry Elder Show.
Larry's father, Staff Sergeant Randolph Elder, says hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Thank you. God bless you. Those Thomas Sowell quotes were inspirational and just too much to put into words. Thank you.
And our guest is Thomas Sowell. He's going to be with us until the top of the hour. Tom, tell us about your growing up in Harlem. What was that like?
Oh, heavens, it was quite different from today. It was we were poor people, much poorer than the people in Harlem or most other anywhere else today. I mean, it was my last year or two there at home that we finally had a telephone. We had a radio. We never had a television. I mean, I didn't have a television until I was, oh my gosh, 23 years old. And my my sister gave me one of her old ones, and she got a new one. But in another sense, in the sense of the things you need to get ahead, I was enormously more fortunate than most black kids today. Just for getting back to the minimum wage for a moment, you know, when I left home at age 17, with no high school diploma, no real serious job experience, no skills, no anything, you know, I was able to find jobs. The unemployment rate for black 17-year-olds that year was 9.2%. It hasn't been that low, you know, in more than half a century since then. I mean, there have been decades in which it was triple what it was when I went out into the world. You know, I wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell to starting off the same way today, but because of the enormously high unemployment rate among black teenagers, which was a direct result of people putting in minimum wages, which simply priced blacks out of the market. I mean, it's not a complicated thing. Labor unions around the world are always pushing for minimum wages.
AI runs on energy, and we don't have enough. China's building a new coal plant every week while Democrats cancel pipelines and block drilling. No power, no progress, no AI future. That's why we need you. Sign up now for free at oilfacts.com to get your free report on the AI arms race before rolling blackouts wipe out our future. Oilfacts.com, powered by Prairie Operating Company, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy.
Welcome to the program. No victocrats allowed because we've got a country to save. So let's get her teed up!
You want to play rock? Say hello to my little friend!
What the hell's going on out here?
Ooh, that's a bingo!
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, Salem News Channel. TSA agent say Somalis have sent probably billions in cash out of the country on their carry-on luggage. The Somali fraud, by the way, exposes the waste, the inefficiency, and the dependency-causing result of government welfare. Independent journalist Nick Shirley gets trashed on CNN, which means he has arrived. J.D. Vance, at least right now, has a massive lead to become the GOP presidential nominee for 2028. Billionaire Democrat candidate for governor here in California wants single-payer health care, says Bernie Sanders is right. Chicago mayor says President Trump has failed in every single way. California voters may get a chance to vote for a wealth tax for billionaires. The Federal Reserve building is way over budget, just as President Trump predicted. Trump faces a no-kings double standard when it comes to executive power. I will explain. The DOJ says that there are 5.2 million pages in the Epstein file. I repeat, 5.2 million pages. Maybe that's why it's taking so long. I don't know. All of this and more, 888-971-7243. But first, I'm sure you heard about the new Ken Burns documentary on the American Revolution. And when he talks about the founding fathers and their attitude towards slavery, he essentially says that they were hypocrites. They were frauds. Some of them actually owned slaves, and so their goal really had nothing to do with ultimately abolishing slavery. It is America's original sin, yada blah, etc. Now, the documentary has been getting pretty good reviews, except when it comes to how he's handled the issue of slavery. There's a piece in Newsweek. Written by an executive here at Salem, Lee Habib. And it says, message to Ken Burns, what Lincoln said about our founders on slavery. And he talks about what Abraham Lincoln said when Lincoln looked at what the founding fathers, the 39 of them, said about slavery in a couple of major speeches that he gave. In 1857, he gave a speech where he condemned the Supreme Court decision, Dred Scott, which said that blacks were chattel property. And my goodness, if you gave blacks full citizenship, full rights, they could get guns, and Lord knows what they might do with guns, said the Chief Justice, Roger Taney, who, by the way, was appointed by a Democrat. But I digress. In talking about the decision and what the Founding Fathers thought about slavery, he said, the Founding Fathers did not mean to assert the obvious untruth, that all were then actually enjoying the equality, nor yet that they were about to confer it immediately upon them. In fact, they had no power to confer it. They simply meant to declare the right so that enforcement of it might follow as fast as circumstances should permit, close quote. In other words, we wouldn't have had a republic had the Founding Fathers insisted on abolishing slavery right then and there. But they set forth the conditions so that it could be abolished as soon as practical. Then there was a famous 1860 Cooper Union address in New York City. It was probably the speech that made him from an unknown person to a person of prominence. He prepared that speech for months. He followed the 39 founders' actions, some of whom went into politics, their writings, to find out whether they acted to limit or abolish slavery or to preserve or expand it. Lincoln began by talking about 1784. The issue was the Northwest Territory and whether or not there would be slavery allowed there. Of the ones that were in the legislature from the Founding Fathers, there were four. Three voted to prohibit slavery in the new territory. In 1787, a few years later, the issue reappeared. Two more of the 39 signers of the future Constitution were present, and both voted to prevent slavery in the Northwest Territory. 2 years later, 1789, the very first federal Congress under the new Constitution renewed the Northwest Ordinance, again banning slavery. In his speech, he said the bill went through all sorts of stages without one word of opposition, passed both branches. Quote, said Lincoln, in this Congress, there were 16 of the 39 fathers who framed the original Constitution. George Washington, who was then president, signed the bill. End of quote. By Lincoln's final calculations, 23 of the 39 signers of the Constitution had a voting record, because they went into politics, on the issue of slavery. Of the 23, 21 of them, or 91%, voted to prohibit or to limit its expansion. Of the remaining 16, with no record, Lincoln researched their their writings. Quote, if we should look at their acts and declarations, it would appear to us that on the direct question of federal control of slavery, the 16, if they had acted, would have acted just as the 23 did. In this speech, Lincoln demonstrated beyond any doubt our founding fathers believed that slavery was a moral wrong. By the way, neither the word slave nor slavery is found in the Constitution. It was done intentionally, said Lincoln, to, quote, exclude from the Constitution the idea that there could be property in man, close quote. Here are the other problems with Ken Burns' documentary. And by the way, Ken Burns did a documentary claiming that the Central Park Five were in fact innocent. They were not innocent.
Call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-822-1716. 800-822-1716. 800-822-1716.
The fight against sexual exploitation begins at home. Sexual exploitation is no longer a distant issue. It's happening here in our communities, schools, and even our homes. Every day, millions of Americans are targeted and trapped through manipulation, coercion, and deception. Sexploited in America, The Invisible War is a powerful docuseries exposing the hidden systems and cultural blind spots that allow exploitation to thrive and gives a voice to the survivors and families forever changed by it. Raw, unfiltered, deeply human, these stories reveal both the devastating realities of exploitation and the extraordinary courage of those who refuse to be silenced. Sexploited in America, the docuseries, is presented by AGA Media and available to everyone now at salemnow.com.
You know me. I believe in freedom, independent values that built this country. Now, I'll be the first to say President Trump has taken the steps towards reviving our economy. But inflation, trade deficits, and global uncertainty are hitting hardworking Americans where it hurts. Here's the truth. I refuse to let these hidden forces decide my future. That's why I help protect my wealth with real assets, physical gold and silver. For generations, these metals have held value no matter who's in office or what the markets do. To me, gold and silver mean independence, not just for today, but for tomorrow. If you want the peace of mind I've found, it's time to take action. I've partnered with the number one rated precious metals company, Gold Co., and right now they're offering first-time buyers a rebate of up to 10% in bonus silver on qualified accounts. Visit LaraLikesGold.com to learn how you can help safeguard your savings with gold and silver the way I do. That's LaraLikesGold.com.
This is the best of the Larry Elder Show.
Oh, I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same.
All across America, the Larry Elder Show.
Hey, Larry, just want to encourage everybody to send a note to the president to thank him for supporting Hillary Clinton and acknowledge that she couldn't have lost without his endorsement.
888-971-SAGE. My guest is Thomas Sowell, who has written his last column, but as you can see, he's not going anywhere. Thomas, David Mamet, the playwright, called you America's greatest contemporary philosopher. How do you feel about people saying things like that about you?
I don't know. It's not something I would have thought of, but I'm grateful that they think that they think well of me. Heaven knows there are enough who think the opposite.
Why economics?
I guess it was the first subject in college that really grabbed me because it had logic, it had evidence, it had ways of testing propositions against facts, and that's what I wanted.
Are you optimistic, pessimistic, or somewhere in the middle about the future of America?
Pessimistic.
Because?
Because not simply the terrible people who have come to power in this country in recent years, including, of course, Barack Obama, But the utter gullibility of the public that that follows such people, believes such people, disregards all hard facts about what such people are actually doing and what the actual consequences of what they're doing are, and just go with the flow of the rhetoric and the wonderful sounding things like, you know, hope and change.
Why are people going with the flow of the rhetoric? What makes them do that?
One of the terrible things is that our educational institutions, I mean, my gosh, they've lost all sense that their job is to equip young people with not only the knowledge that has been gathered over the years, but also how to develop their own ability to think, to test things, to think through issues, to see beyond rhetoric and so forth. The schools themselves have become great dispensers of propaganda. I was thinking, you know, the model for the role model, to use their term, for many of the teachers seems not to be Mr. Chips, but Dr. Goebbels.
That's academia. What is your opinion about the mainstream media?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll try to express it in words that can be used on the air. But, you know, I just think of the New York Times, of all things, is talking about fake news. They are the greatest dispensers of fake news. But just one example. In Charlotte, a black policeman confronted an armed black suspect, shot the suspect. And of course, the narrative is that the cops are all after blacks. And so there are newspapers and others who will print the picture of the victim, but will not print the picture of the cop, because this would undermine their notion that whites are running around shooting blacks. The other thing that happened was that the suspect had a gun, was told to drop it, didn't drop it, and this, one of these people on CNN said, yes, but he wasn't pointing it at the police. You know, they told him to drop it 10 times and he wouldn't do it, and they shot him. And this man who said this, I thought, what kind of idiot is this? If a man is holding a gun in his hand, no matter why he's holding it, within 1 second you can be dead. But, I mean, there are too many people who think in terms of talking points instead of thinking in terms of getting at the realities of the situation.
You have been teaching for a very long time. What have you seen now versus when you first started teaching about the attitudes of both the students and the attitudes of the professors?
Well, I haven't actually taught since 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen enough then to know that this was not what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I was really quite bitter when I received my PhD in 1968, because by that time I had come to have to lose all confidence in the academic world. The pandering to every noisy little group on campus, the shutting down of discussions of issues because some people might be upset by it. You're artificially prolonging their adolescence, if not their childhood.
But Thomas, we've got microaggressions. We need safe spaces. Tom Sowell, don't go away. 888-971-SAG. When I come back, is the issue radical Islam or is the issue Islam? My guest is Thomas Sowell.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My debt problem started probably about 2016. I needed my life to change financially. I called Trinity, and I ended up joining based on high credit card bills and high interest rate. And my counselor at Trinity has been great, and Trinity has been helping me to get on the right path of paying off these credit card bills, bringing down the interest rate. They have consolidated my bills into one low monthly payment. and now I am finally getting out of credit card debt. So I just want to say thank you, Trinity, for showing me a better and greater path.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-793-8548.
My name is Sharon, and soon I will be debt-free for keeps.
1-800-793-8548.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. More than a million people are now part of healthcare sharing because it just makes so much sense, especially right now. And MediShare is the gold standard. Members like it a lot. We know this from member surveys. MediShare has been around for over 30 years. It is a proven thing. And if you join before January 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee, so you save $100 right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th, so call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-822-1716. 800-822-1716. 800-822-1716.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Life. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-TERM-LIFE. That's 800-TERM-LIFE.
This is the best of the Larry Elder Show.
Clap your hands now, people, clap now. Clap your hands now, people, clap your hands.
Call the Larry Elder Show now at 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. Eldorado's Let Larry Know What's On Your Mind.
Hi, Larry. This is Carla. I would like to suggest that you guys make a montage of all the times that Obama said the word is. I don't know why he adds so many of them when one will suffice, but if you can put it all together, you will see that he does overuse that word. I don't know what it is about it. And the other thing is a suggestion for you that you get together a collection of all the music you play in between your breaks. When you come back from your break, I would definitely buy some CDs of those tasty songs you play. I love them. Thanks, Larry. God bless you. Keep up the good work. We all love you. Bye-bye.
I like that. You got to have a little chutzpah.
888-971-SAGE. Two more segments with my guest, Thomas Sowell. Tom, since she brought up Obama, let's talk about Obama. When I first saw him, I was in Boston 2004 when he gave that warm-up speech for John Kerry. And I turned to my producer and I said, this guy's going to run for president someday and he's going to win. He didn't say anything, but he said it well.
Yeah. That's why it's so scary that the public is so easily taken in by these kinds of things.
You were very, very critical about Obama from the very start. Has he lived down to your expectations?
Absolutely. I think of myself as one of the few people who is not the least bit disappointed in Obama, because he has been just what I thought he was going to be from the very beginning, a phony and a doctrinaire and heedless of reality.
In your opinion, as far as his domestic policies are concerned, is the biggest damaging thing he's done, the most damaging thing he's done?
There's so many, I wouldn't have time to run through them all to find out, but one that sticks out recently is he has supported those people who are pushing the narrative that the great danger to black young people consists of the police.
Mm-hmm.
The number of blacks shot by police, including black police, by the way, is some tiny fraction of the number of blacks who are shot and killed by other blacks all the time. And Obama is concerned only with those people who are shot who can be politically useful to him in advancing his agenda. Other blacks who get shot really don't concern him.
The economy. This has been the worst recovery since 1949, the first time a president has presided over a recovery where we haven't had a single year of 3% GDP. Again, you expected that the results of Obamanomics would be like this.
Yes, because of the things that he said, that, again, is doctrinaire. One of the crucial things turned up in an interview where someone pointed out that if you're going to have these high taxes on high-income people, you're not going to collect any more revenue. They're simply going to put their money either in tax-exempt securities, or they're going to ship their money overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he understood that, but he wanted to do it, as he said, for fairness. Well, wonderful. when people who have a lot of money ship it overseas, creating jobs overseas that Americans can't go overseas to get, he's saying that he's for his doctrines, his ideology, and if that hurts the very people he claims to be helping, namely the poor or the working class, that doesn't concern him.
This brings up to us to Donald Trump. When you and I first talked about him many months ago, you were not a fan. Do you feel any more comforted by his cabinet selections?
Oh, I think he has a cabinet that is better than most presidents have coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, all those people serve at the pleasure of the president, and he does what he wants to do regardless of what the cabinet members tell him. And so everything depends upon whether he's going to listen to these people or whether he's going to go off on his own tangent. And we won't know that until he's actually in office.
He has been the most anti-free trade Republican I've ever seen. Are you worried about that?
That is a concern. I mean, you know, my research on the Great Depression convinces me that it was not the stock market crash, but it was the international trade war that was set off by the Smoot-Hawley tariff that had much more to do with the decline in the economy and the rise in unemployment. So this is a very dangerous thing, and it's like so many wars. They're very easy to start and very hard to bring to a close.
Stephen Moore is one of his top economic advisors. We recently interviewed him, and he pretty much said the same thing you said about free trade. Does it make you feel any more comfortable that Donald Trump is listening to somebody like Stephen Moore?
I know it makes me feel good that Stephen Moore is there. We'll find out whether he's going to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. Islam. Is the issue Islam, Thomas Sowell, or is the issue radical Islam? Or is there something fundamentally, inherently wrong with Islam?
I seem to be one of the few people around who is not an expert on Islam. but I do know that there are Islamic states that are fearful of Iran and fearful of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So it's not as if it's monolithic. I mean, the last time I checked, there were at least four Islamic states in the world that have had female heads of state, you know, which not all Western states have yet had. So there is a lot of difference in there. I mean, Jordan is not Iran, Egypt is not Iran or Syria. So you can't just lump them together. But I think the fact that we have a president who will not even say the words Islamic extremists, I mean, that is one of the many signs of what's fundamentally wrong with the current president.
Did you support the war in Iraq?
Yes. And to this day, I don't think it was either a lie or a mistake. Saddam Hussein had used weapons of mass destruction. He was seeking more sources of uranium. He did have the infrastructure and the scientists to do it again whenever it was at his convenience. The idea that you can maintain surveillance over a whole country from the air is madness. You can't.
My guest is Thomas Sowell. Thomas, when we come back, I want to ask you about the news of the day, which is our failure to veto the United Nations resolution that's widely perceived to be a resolution that's hostile to Israel. I'll get your thoughts on that when we come back. Don't leave town.
Portions of The Larry Elder Show are sponsored in part by Freedom, Liberty, and Security Now. Learn more at www.immigrationpause.org.
So Pure Talk just had their best year ever and asked me if I'd like to thank their customers on their behalf for being so awesome. I said sure. It's important to say thanks, especially this time of year, which is why, as one of their many satisfied customers, I should probably thank Pure Talk first for keeping their customer service in this country and for providing hundreds of American jobs. I appreciate that. I also appreciate their Roundup program, which makes it easy to support America's Warrior Partnership and join the fight against veteran suicide. And I love that Pure Talk donated 1,000 hand-sewn Made in America flags to veterans around Independence Day. And of course, I really appreciate their generous support of my own foundation, MicroWorks, and their commitment to help us train the next generation of skilled workers. Having said all that, it's now my pleasure, on behalf of everyone at Pure Talk, to thank you sincerely for choosing to do business with an American wireless company that actually stands for something. And one more thing. Happy New Year.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything, from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-289-6016. That's 800-289-6016. 800-289-6016.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-TERM-LIFE. That's 800-TERM-LIFE.
This is the best of The Larry Elder Show.
Welcome back to The Larry Elder Show.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I love your show. Never miss any opportunity to catch you. Anyway, it just amazes me. I keep going back to 2007 when Obama and that whole gang
in Chicago, all the stuff that was going on that was out there about Obama and his relationships and all the influences that he had, I knew then that this guy was going to be a disaster, and it's been 8 years of just struggling with this guy that's been president in his administration. I just can't wait till this guy is gone. So
888-971-SAGE, my last few minutes with my guest Thomas Sowell. By the way, I've been posting on Facebook and on Twitter all day pieces about Donald, about Tom Sowell, video of Thomas Sowell. I've got the entire 1981 firing line show with William F. Buckley and Thomas Sowell up there as well, so be sure and check it out. Tom, the big news today is that we did not veto a United Nations resolution that essentially said that the settlements in Israel are illegal. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, apparently, it's not only that we didn't veto it. Apparently, there's evidence that we orchestrated the countries that did propose this resolution. Mm-hmm. I believe that includes New Zealand, who ordinarily would not be involved in problems of the Middle East. All throughout the history of Israel, the United States has vetoed these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Obama himself has vetoed them again and again until now when he's ready to leave and he doesn't have to fear political repercussions. And now he can vent his spleen against Israel. Nothing is inevitable. But I think that someone with Obama's outlook, his resentment of people who are successful, his resentment of Western nations, you know, Israel is a Western nation in the Middle East, and they're far better off and far more advanced technologically and otherwise than the countries around them. And so, therefore, it's obvious that this would be a target for his resentment. And his hatred of Netanyahu has been demonstrated in any number of ways. And so on the way out, here is his chance to get his little spiteful thing in. Because I think he's fundamentally a very narrow-minded person.
Thomas, so we have 30 seconds left. Real quickly, will Donald Trump build the wall? Should he build the wall? And your thoughts on illegal immigration?
Illegal immigration should be stopped by whatever means are necessary to stop it, including walls.
Thomas Sowell, thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
As always, I really appreciate it. And I know that you... we're in very high demand, and I'm very flattered and honored that you took the time to spend with us.
It's always good talking to you.
You got it.
What can I say? Mamba out.
The mic has been
closed. All across America, the Larry Elder Show.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-289-6016. That's 800-289-6016. 800-289-6016.